Well, this morning we are going to conclude the message series we began in the summer. This has been one of the longer of the summer series, as each summer we find a character in God's faithful Old Testament, a faithful Old Testament character, and we have followed their lives. We've looked at so many, and this summer we spent our time with Moses, and this morning we wrap up this series called Born for a Purpose. If you have your Bible, look with me in Exodus chapter 33. Just find your place in Exodus, the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 33, and hold your place there for just a moment. And while you're turning there, also let me mention that starting next week, we'll be in a message series where I'll be asking and answering the question from the Bible, how do you know if you're a Christian? Or more importantly, can you know for sure that you're a Christian? A lot of times people say, well, you just have to believe and you can't know for sure. Actually, the Bible says you can know for certain. If you've been born again in Christ, trusted Him as your Savior, there are indicators in your life, and they're very biblical, and the Bible's very clear about this. So we're going to be in a series called Birthmarks, How to Know If You're a Christian, starting next time. Next year, we mark 15 years as First Baptist Church in this new location. Isn't that exciting? 15 years in this new location. Actually, it'll be next April, Easter. And looking ahead to that means we look at where we are, we look at where we're going, we look at ourselves as a church, as a family, as a body of believers, what God's done in our lives. Certainly a lot has changed, but God's done a lot of exciting things as well, and we anticipate great things moving forward. As I've said in my prayer, I'm delighted I can be the pastor of such a wonderful group of believers at this place and time to serve with you. It's a privilege to serve with you and to be your pastor. And I'm excited about what happens next year and years after that as well. I want to pause and thank everyone that's participated in the recovery efforts going on. We've had recovery teams coming into the church, cycling out. Pastor Mike especially is to be thanked for coordinating these things, coordinating the volunteers, working with the teams. It'll be a very ongoing and fluid thing in the weeks ahead as recovery efforts in the more devastated areas of our county and neighboring counties will continue. But I also need to pause and say, we couldn't do it without you. The volunteers that have stepped up. I need to give a shout out to Joni and Clem spending the night here at First Baptist Church in the building so they could minister to the teams who were here. So many others of you have worked so hard as volunteers. Thank you for that. Part of the recovery process, too, are the supplies. I mean, what good does it do if all the people come if we don't have the supplies to go help, right? With tarps for roofs and mud out kits and all these other things that go along with it. A lot of folks bring their tools, but we have to have supplies here as well. And Pastor Mike has been navigating that. Other pastors have blessed us, and the community has blessed us, and supplies coming. North Carolina Baptist Men providing supplies for recovery also. So I want to paint a picture for you for just a moment. Let's suppose all those supplies come in, and we've got them all stacked back there at the back of the property where you see the recovery trailer. Let's say supplies are all stacked up there, and the teams come in. And let's just say we've got a team of about 20 people there, and our volunteers and Pastor Mike meet them there where all those supplies are stacked up. And it's a bright, clear Saturday morning. And as they look at all these supplies and they know of all these needs in the community, suddenly it occurs to someone, we could build swing sets. We could take all of these supplies and we could build swing sets. That's what we could do. And we could build swing sets with these supplies, and we could have a big swing set fundraiser sale, and we could send the proceeds to the families around us, and they could get their own tarps, and they could get their own stuff, and they could do their own sheetrock work. Let's just all build swing sets. So suddenly everybody there says, what a great idea. And they take all those supplies that were sent for the purpose of helping people in recovery and getting their homes ready for restoration. They take all those supplies and they spend the weekend building swing sets. And when you come to church that Sunday morning, the rec field is littered with swing sets. Some finished, some halfway finished, some in process, some big, some small. And you look and you say, swing sets. I didn't know we were going to be building swing sets. You know why you didn't know that? Because it's not our purpose to build swing sets. And when people gave supplies and when the teams rallied up, their purpose was not to build swing sets. It was to help people. And there's almost nothing worse than taking the provisions God has given you and using them for a different purpose. The whole idea of the purpose for the people of God is knowing what it is God wants us to do with what God gives us. That's what purpose is all about. In this series, we've called it Born for a Purpose because we have seen Moses grow into his purpose, come to an understanding that he was born for a specific purpose. And even as he fulfills that purpose, he cannot divert from it. He must stay on course with the purpose of leading God's people out of Egypt and into the promised land. And as part of that purpose, he gets to know God better and better and better every day. When we pick up this morning with chapter 33, we're going to be skipping over quite a bit of the narrative, and much of the narrative leading up to this chapter is in great detail, so I want to summarize it for you because it's important for what we're about to read as we wrap up this series and read a section of chapter 33. In the intervening chapters, Moses has become even better acquainted with God, if that were even possible. Moses has become better acquainted with God. He has spent time with God personally on the mountain, receiving the law. And the Bible says that he's become so intimate with God that the Bible says God meets with Moses as a man would meet with his friend, face to face. He couldn't get more intimate, more personal than that. But even as Moses is getting closer to God, the people of God are getting farther away from God. When Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the law, they become impatient and intolerant. And rather than waiting for the law and waiting for Moses' instruction and waiting for God, they create an idol and they fall into idol worship. And when Moses returns and finds them in that way, it angers him and it angers God. And God then refers to his own people as, in biblical vocabulary, stiff-necked people. You know what stiff-necked people are? They're uncompliant, they're rebellious, and they're disobedient. That's what stiff-necked people are. And the turning point comes, as we'll read it in just a moment, when God says to Moses, I have had enough. And God says to Moses, you and the people will still get to go into the promised land. That's been God's promise all along. Leading them out of Egypt meant that God would take them to their own land, something they've never had, something they've never enjoyed before. They would have their own place. They would have their own land. And God says to Moses, you will still get to go to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. I cannot be with these people any longer. And what follows is one of the most emotional conversations Moses ever has with God. Look at this with me. Exodus chapter 33, starting at verse 12. And the Bible says, Moses said to the Lord, look, you have told me, lead this people up, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you've also found favor with me. Now, if I have indeed found favor with you, please teach me your ways, and I will know you so that I may find favor with you. Now, consider that this nation is your people. And God replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If your presence does not go, Moses responded, don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have found favor with you unless you go with us? I and your people will be distinguished by this from all the other people on the face of the earth. And the Lord answered Moses, I will do this very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor with me and I know your name. And then Moses said, please let me see your glory. Moses pleads with God, go with us. Go with us. When God gives us his purposes, God promises to be with us. But sometimes God has to remind us what matters most. Because our inclination is to go ahead without God at times. We just want to go ahead. So God reminds us, if we're moving forward as his people, he reminds us what matters most. He reminds us that all that matters is God. It's not how many buildings we build, how many committees we have, how tired we get, how joyful we are. It's not even how wonderful the worship is, how many people we can seat in a room. What matters is God. That's what matters. And sometimes God just has to remind us, in order to fulfill His purposes, we need Him, and He needs to be with us. I want us to break this down a little bit, closer this morning, and consider with me this morning what really matters moving forward, First Baptist Church. Here we are at Homecoming 2018. We're about to cross the threshold into our 15th year on this property. You may have had in mind, if you've been here a while, maybe you came from the previous property, you've had in mind where we would be now, what we would be doing, and maybe that's been fulfilled, maybe it has not. Maybe you have an idea where we'll be going in the future. What is it that God wants us to learn as we move forward? If you were to say, all that matters is this as we move forward, how would God answer that question? Let's look at this for a moment. All that matters as we move forward. First, all that matters is the clarity of God's purpose. The clarity of God's purpose. When God said to Moses, I cannot go with these stiff-necked people any longer. You still get to go to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. The first thing Moses did is rehearse where they had been and ask God questions based on what Moses had experienced with God. See, Moses now understood that he was a steward of God's purpose. That from the moment he was on the mount staring at the burning bush, from that point forward, he became a steward of God's purpose. Nothing else in Moses' life mattered but doing what God wanted and leading God's people to do the same thing. And now suddenly God changes it and God says, you're going forward, I'm not going with you. But God had promised Moses that he would go or someone in his place would go. So Moses asked the question, well, you haven't told me who is going. I mean, Moses is confused and Moses is emotional. This is a devastating moment for Moses because from the moment he saw the burning bush until this moment, God has been with him. He doesn't know what it's like to lead God's people without God. He doesn't know what it's like to move forward without God with him. And now God says, I'm drawing back, you're going without me. And Moses says, I don't understand. I thought I found favor with you. Meaning I thought I was in right standing with you, that I was your chosen one for a purpose. I don't understand. And God essentially agrees with him. God says, okay, I will go with you, Moses. I'm still with you. You have found favor with me. So Moses continues to plead. What good is it for God to go with Moses if God doesn't go with God's people? He needs to be with all of us. Moses is never critical or arguing or sarcastic. He just says, pretty much, God, my experience with you is, we can't do anything without you. And we can't fulfill your purpose unless you're with us. So how does this work? And he says, God, my understanding of how you work is based on how you've worked in the past. And that's true. A barometer of the way God works is always what God has done in the past. If you believe God did great things in the past, you can believe God will do great things in the future. If you believe God answered prayers in the past, you can believe God will answer prayers in the future. It's the same God. He works the same way. And he wants you to believe that. He wants you to build your faith on what he has done. His character is displayed in his actions and in his promises. So Moses said, how are you going to fulfill your promises and your purpose if you're not with us? Moses' clarity of God's purpose is the foundation for the conversation. He knows what God told him to do. So he knows where the resources have to go. He knows what the people should be doing. He knows the direction they're supposed to go. He has such clarity of God's purpose that as soon as God brings up the subject, Moses can quote to him, your purpose, your favor, your direction, my experience with you, all these things mean this is who you are for the future. How can that possibly change? As followers of Christ, as a church, we have the same clarity. God has called every church to do the same thing, just one thing, to fulfill the Great Commission. That is to make disciples of our generation. That's why we are here. For whatever else we do, if we're not doing that, we're not fulfilling God's purpose. We're building swing sets instead of doing what God's asked us to do. God has called us and every church to fulfill the Great Commission. Make disciples, God says. And we break that down for us in three simple statements that help us understand God's purpose for us. And they are values and they're a mission. They're our purpose articulated this way: to love God, love one another, and love the world. Because Jesus said the number one thing every believer needs to do is to love the Lord your God. That's number one. Then he said, I give you another command I have for you, to love one another. Everybody will know you're my disciples because you love one another. And the Bible says that God's greatest love is for lost people. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. So to fulfill God's purpose, we love God. Through worship and prayer, we love one another. And we love the world with the gospel. That last one, imagine, you know, building swing sets instead of helping people in recovery or sharing the gospel violates that third one, doesn't it? We're not loving the world around us with the gospel if we're at home building swing sets. For whatever else we do with what God has given us, we must do what God has told us to do. And clarity of purpose means we always go back to this one thing. God has called us to make disciples for Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to do. For whatever else we do, that's what we must do. So always moving forward, what matters is clarity of God's purpose. Always returning to God's purpose and what he wants. Moses reminds us of this. Secondly, what matters moving forward, all that matters is the blessing of God's presence. The blessing of God's presence. Right in the center of this conversation, Moses says the most significant thing he's going to say. Look at verse 15 again. Moses says, if your presence does not go, don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have found favor with you unless you go with us? And I and your people will be distinguished by this from all the other people on the face of the earth. You know what Moses is saying? Moses is saying, I would rather wander in the wilderness with you then go to the promised land without you. God, I would rather stay right here just like this for as long as you like with you than you send us on to the great promised land, milk and honey, wonderful shepherding and flocks and herds, our own land. I don't want to go there if you're not there. I'd rather stay right here in the wilderness with you than go to the promised land without you. Then Moses said, and if you don't go, how will people know we belong to you? If you don't go with us, if your presence is not evident, if it's not obvious that God's hand is at work, we're just like anybody else. There's no difference. If God is not working in our midst, who are we? If we're not God's people, who are we? And if your people don't see you work on a regular basis, if their prayers are not answered, who are we? Well, we're just like anybody else. For you and I, that means it's all about Jesus Christ. Just as Moses said these words for the first time to God, he was learning about the Lord, he was saying them to the Heavenly Father and to Jesus Christ at the same time. The one we know in Christ is the God of the Mount and of Moses. He is the same God. And we are his people. We are distinguished by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Never make any mistake. It is about Jesus Christ. And never misunderstand. We are not like any other religion. We are not like any other faith. We serve Jesus Christ. We are followers of Christ. We are the church of God in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that explicitly and forthrightly. And the Bible says explicitly, Jesus and Jesus alone is the way to be saved. There is no other way. We represent Christ to the world. And if we try to proceed to the promised land without Christ, what makes us different from anybody else? And if we try to forge and soldier ahead, if we try to move forward without Christ in our midst, without Christ leading us, without the Spirit of God blessing us, if we try to move forward without his presence, we're just like any other social club anywhere else in the world. In fact, we may as well pack up and go home and give the building to the Rotarians or to some other social organization, Red Cross, any good organization. If we're just doing what they're doing, what's the difference? The difference is Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone. We stay put, if necessary, in the wilderness as long as He likes until He says, I'm moving forward, come with me. We never say, God, we're moving forward, please come with us and bless what we're going to do. I know without a doubt there are many of us in this building, in this room, in this church who thought, perhaps we would have built a new building, a new sanctuary by now. There's nothing wrong with that thought, but understand, we cannot forge ahead with that until Christ goes with us. Until God and His presence and His power goes before us, it won't happen anyway. Now, we can build a building. I can point out folks right here, right now. We can build a building. We can do all those good things that on the outside look like we're successful in doing well. The problem is we left God behind or ignored Him and said, God, we're going to go on without you. If we get in trouble, we'll ask for your help. Otherwise, we're going to be on our own. No. May it always be said of First Baptist Church that we stayed put until God moved us forward. May it always be said of the First Baptist Church of Shalot that what matters most to us is that we are with God and what He's doing. Not what we can do. Not how good we are. Not how talented we are. Not how good we look. What matters most to us is that God is in our midst. The power and the presence of God is here and He leads us forward. And in the meantime, let's say clearly to God, God, we would rather stay put with You than move forward by ourselves without You. Somebody say yes. I believe with all my heart. The people of God at First Baptist Church, when they came to this site just less than 15 years ago, did exactly that. They waited and watched, and God led us here. Praise God for His faithful people. Praise God for a legacy of faith. Praise God for what He's done in the lives of His people and in the lives of First Baptist Church. And may we never hinder that, and may we always wait for Him and go with Him rather than without Him. It doesn't matter how good the promised land looks. If God's not there, we don't want to be there. We'll stay right here and let God work. What matters then is the blessing of God's presence as we move forward. Then last, among those things that absolutely matter is the revelation of God's power. The revelation of God's power. God finally says to Moses, I will go with you and your people, he means, I will go with you into the promised land. Moses has pleaded for the people. He has intervened and interceded for the people and for himself. And God has answered that and said, yes, I will go with you. And then Moses offers this one prayer. This is Moses' prayer moving forward. God, therefore, I want to see your glory. You're going with us. God, I want to see your glory. By God's glory, the Bible means God's presence. God's acting in our midst. God's work in the midst of His people. And seeing God's glory means that we visibly and actually see God work. We point at events around us and circumstances. We point at one another and say, God did that. God did that. God is doing that. We could not have done that on our own at all. And this should be our prayer always. God, we want to see your glory. We want to see God work. We'll stay put. We'll let God work in our midst right here. We will follow God into the future. And the prayer that reverberates in our hearts and among God's people is, God, we want to see you work. Never mind what we can do. We can see that anytime. God, we want to see you work. We want to see your glory. What did Moses mean when he said that? What did Moses mean? Moses was saying, God, I know what you can do. And I especially know what you can do when I give myself over to you. And God, that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see you show up. See, Moses knew by this time that the story of him being plucked from the Nile River and handed to Pharaoh's daughter. He knew that God had put him in Pharaoh's household, that he would grow up there and he would be prepared to go back 40 years later and lead God's people out. See, Moses is the man that was out herding goats, and he stood on the mountain and he saw a bush burning, and he got close enough he could feel the heat of the bush all around him. He could see the flash of the embers right in front of him. And suddenly the very voice of God burst forth from that burning bush. Moses is the man that stood there right on the mount. And when the bush was burning but not consumed, he heard the voice of God as a reminder that, Moses, if you yield to me, if you give over to me, I can keep the bush burning as long as I want, and I'll do the same thing to you. Moses is the man who, with his brother Aaron, went down to the most powerful kingdom on the planet at the time, and he stood in front of the most powerful king on the planet at the time, dressed as a goat herder and carrying a staff. And he looked him in the face and he said to the Pharaoh, God wants his people back. And they're going to leave, whether you like it or not. So you need to let them go now. When Pharaoh refused, Moses is the man that saw Egypt covered with frogs like carpet. He stood in the midst of gnats as so thick you couldn't see around you. They were in your nose and in your throat and in your ears. He saw the Nile turn to blood right in front of him. And he was back in that same courtroom staring that same king in the face when that king finally admitted that God is God and I am not. The people can go. And Moses is the man that led 2 million people out of Egypt, having no earthly idea where they were going. But knowing that God knew, he led the people. God, and Moses is the man that led them through the wilderness. Moses is the man that woke up every morning and saw food prepared by God himself on the ground for his people. Quail meat there put by God himself on the ground for his people. Moses is the man that stood on a perch and he looked out over the Red Sea with the army of Pharaoh behind him. And he raised his arms with a staff, and God parted the Red Sea right in front of him. The sound was deafening, and the mist was overwhelming, and the wind blew. And the Bible says a storm came up, and the people of God were in awe. He could hear their gasps, and he could hear their clapping and their applause, and even their weeping as the Red Sea continued to part. And Moses is the man that led them across there to the other side. And Moses is the man that stood on the other side as the army of Pharaoh, the greatest army in the world at the time, rushed into the parted sea. God collapsed the sea and extinguished Pharaoh's army, drowned them right where they were. Moses is the man. And now Moses is the man who says, God, go with us, because I want to see you do that again. Moses is the man that knows what it's like when God's glory shows up. And he's saying to God, I just have one prayer. I just have one prayer. I want to see you do it again. I want to see you, God, do what only God can do. I want you to surprise me. I had no idea the Red Sea was going to part. I had no idea manna would be on the ground. I had no idea we would get this far. I had no idea what you would do and no idea how your glory would show up and the power of God in our midst. So God, here's my one prayer. I want to see some more. I want to see some more. I cannot imagine what God has in store if that's what God did before. All because I said yes to his purposes. That's where we need to be. You know, we make a choice every day. We make a choice every day. Stay with God or go without him. Every morning you get up, you make that choice. Do I walk with God? Do I listen to God? Do I see God work? Or do I go on without him? And then when I need his help, I'll yell for him. And we make that decision as a church all the time. Do I go with God or do what I want to do? In the southwestern United States, there's a tourist attraction that draws thousands of people every year. It's out pretty much in the middle of nowhere. It's a 6-hour drive from the closest airport, 33 miles from the closest town, but people flock there every year. There are no particular landmarks rising up out of the wilderness or anything like that. It's just a nondescript plaque that sits on the ground. It's about 3 inches in diameter. But it's a plaque that surveyors put there to commemorate and to locate where 4 states border one another. Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico are right there. So tourists drive out there all the time. And you know what they do? Maybe you've done it. I just don't know it. You know what they do? They go out there and they get some, come take a picture of me. And what they do is they put 1 foot in one state, 1 foot in another state, and they put one hand in the other state and another hand in the 4th state and get their picture made. And then they tell all their friends, I was in 4 places at one time. But we all know it's true. You can't be in 4 places at one time. You can't be in 3 places. You can't be in 2 places at one time. You can't go with God and go on your own at the same time. You can't do both. And every day we make a choice. I'll listen to God. I'll wait for God. I'll go with God. Or God, I'm going to go on my own, and I'll let you know if I need you. Let God investigate your heart a little bit and ask you what you've been doing lately. But as First Baptist Church of Shiloh, may this be our prayer. God, we want to see your glory. Oh, we know what you can do because we've seen you do it. And we cannot anticipate, we cannot imagine what you have in store for us if we say yes. So God, we say yes. We want to go with you. We'll stay here as long as you like. And when you're ready for us to go, we'll go with you. But the one thing we will not do as a church is go without you. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, every person in this room is in relationship in some way with you. Father, maybe there's someone who's never trusted Christ as their Savior. Their relationship with you is that they're lost from you, and they need Christ. And I pray today, God, would be the day they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Others of us, God, have trusted Christ, but we're not living for you. And the way we make decisions is, God, I'll do it and I'll let you know if I need you. Father, show us that and forgive us for doing that in our lives, in our families, in our homes. Father, please forgive us for that. God, others of us need to make a decision to join fellowship with First Baptist Church. Maybe there's some who need to take a step of faith to be baptized, a step of faith to go on missions, a step of faith to trust you so they can share Christ with their neighbor. Whatever it is, God, maybe some need to be involved in recovery efforts, and you're showing us that even now. But Father, how I pray you would work in our midst this morning and our hearts would listen to you. We'd be open to what you want to say. And Father, I pray as a church that our prayer would be, God, show us your glory. We want to see you work through us. Forgive us, God, for any time or for the many times that we have tried to go off on our own without waiting for you. Forgive us for our impatience and our indifference to your purpose. Forgive us, God, if we've used resources you've entrusted to us for anything but what you designed them for or for your purpose. Forgive us, God, for forgetting why we're here. Renew that in us, God, today. Every individual and us as a church, God, renew in us, revive us, refresh us, God, in the knowledge that we are here to serve Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we move when you say move. We go when you say go. And God, we want to go with you. Father, I pray for those who need to see God work, need to see you work in their lives even now. Show us your glory, God. Do a miracle, bring healing, bring strength, help us in our finances, help us in our marriages. Whatever it is, God, you want to do, we pray, God, you would show us your glory, that we would see you at work, not just what we can do, but we would see you at work in our lives. So, God, I give you this time, and I pray as we respond to you, that our responses would be sincere, our responses would be on faith, our responses would be in obedience to what you're telling us right now that we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.